Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch.
Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you gonna get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
Get
me the ball.
I
hope he didn't kill somebody.
Hello, good day to all. 11 personnel back in action. Nick Roush here with my big boys. Adam Luckett, how are you doing today, fine sir?
Pretty good, Mr. Roush. A lot of stuff has happened since we last recorded.
Yeah. I think I needed to come off with like a big fake voice because just, you know, things aren't looking great.
It's not been a fun few days on the tweet machine.
No.
I will say that.
I guess it would be Thursday. Thursday really kind of felt like the early pandemic days where just like news is flying off the shelves because between the all conference stuff and then Andy Beshear telling everybody that we had to wear a mask and then just the comments that follow, the stuff, it just kind of piles on and it gets draining. And there was definitely a moment where I felt drained. But Luckett, I'm not. Here's the thing. I can't I've been telling myself this before, and I've got to keep reminding myself that I can't get caught up on every, you know, one day at a time. Like, if you do that, you just wear your ass out because that news can be exhausting.
Especially in the echo chamber known as Twitter, where things can just hit fast and it feels like you're just getting snowballed with bad news.
Right. Well, and then it was weird because this time it actually stopped. So the first time it hit, everything just kept getting canceled, and it was like 2 weeks of cancellations. Whereas in this case, we had the Big Ten announce that they're going to go to a conference-only schedule, and then you had reports that the ACC was going to do it.
Got a little ahead of ourselves there.
Yeah, they got – yeah, John Swofford was like, no, not so fast. Now, Larry Scott, who I believe got COVID-19, he went ahead and pulled the trigger and said, we're going to do a conference-only schedule. But when you kind of stop for a second and you look around, you're like, okay, well, Kentucky's schedule still intact so far. So, football season's moving on, and hey, they even gave us some good news. They had every single person test negative for coronavirus. Turns out in medicine, negative is good.
Yeah, kind of like golf.
Exactly. Which, by the way, the Memorial this weekend is going to be pretty great.
Yeah, lineup stack.
You got Brooks, Rory, and Tiger teeing off together. Like, that's going to be freaking awesome.
I was hoping they would have put Brooks with Bryson. Brooks' tweet last week? I was hoping for that. Hopefully we get them matched
Kenny Powers,
this weekend or something.
Roid rate? Was it Kenny Power? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the eastbound and down steroid use.
Oh, man. Because he's probably juicing, but, you know.
Who cares?
Dude, are you for Bryson?
Oh, I love it, man.
Oh, God. He's the worst. He's a nerd. He's a nerd hiding behind steroids.
Golf needs a villain, man.
Okay. All right, yes, I'm with you. I like cheering against him. But do you cheer against him or for him?
No, he just makes me laugh. Like, I love watching him play golf. It literally makes me laugh. He's just getting up there and tattooing the ball, bazookaing it 450 yards out.
He reminds me of, like, the fat drunk in the fraternity that's kind of a meatball that you'll like, but will – you know, he can be a bit much sometimes. And
yeah, he can be smartest guy in the room syndrome for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, just chill the hell out, buddy. Just relax, you know. But you kind of like him, but at the same time, you hate him. But you want to have him around. So I'm glad he's around. And especially he does great when he gets to beat up on the JV squad. And this weekend, it's not the JV squad. The big dogs are out.
He's been playing. I mean, he was top 10 every tournament since they've been back. So, that, I mean, just consistently doing that's pretty damn good. I don't care what level of competition you're playing with. It's still pros out there.
Now we
get to see everybody. Tiger will take up a lot of oxygen, obviously, this weekend. But Rory's back. Koepka will be out there. Justin Thomas let a one slip through his fingers this past weekend.
So, I didn't see – I saw – It was like one of the only sporting events I didn't watch this weekend, because on the heels of all that bad news Thursday, we had TBT basketball tournament, which I get a rooting interest in Dayton because my wife's family's big Flyers fans. And they were just like, Fran Fraschilla just kept talking about her hometown. They're like, St. Henry, Ohio. They kept shouting it out because Daniel Mike sells from it and he was playing well. But they made it to the Final Four. Joe Johnson's team got upset. That was a crazy ass game Sunday. The NASCAR game was wild. You had the first soccer game in the new Louisville Stadium on Sunday. So there was and then the UFC fight Saturday, which I passed out before it was even got to the main event. But like, there was a lot happening. So even though we got some doom and gloom, we got a little bit of optimism, except for the fact that our boy JT, he nails like a 50-foot putt on the opening hole of a playoff. But what happened after that? I did not see what happened after that, other than there was one putt that rolled right over the cup.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back because it's a lot has happened. I know he missed a putt either on the second or third hole that would have won it, and everybody thought he was going to hit it. And he missed, and then the third hole, Morikawa won with the par. So, yeah, there was a kind of little anticlimactic, I think, but it was a hell of a matchup because he was up 3 strokes on like going to 16, I think Justin Thomas was.
Yeah, which is crazy. But that Morikawa guy.
Yeah, he's a real deal.
Right. He's up and coming.
He can't really putt, but everything else, he's like top of the line. Driving wise, he's a little back, but you talk about just any like irons or going into the green, anything like that, he's the best going right now.
And that was another Adam Luckett shout out early on. That I didn't know about. It's kind of like a John Summerall shout out, you know, and that's what Adam Luckett does. It gives you little teasers before
the KSR golf I've been doing, just to give me a little plug, pick up winner each week.
Okay.
Three of the tournaments, I think I've picked the runner up.
I mean, you can Justin Thomas.
Yeah. Justin Thomas this weekend. Terrell Hatton a few weeks ago when they were in Hilton Head, and then I think there was one more I had. I can't really remember. Yeah, so three of the five, I'm coming up just one spot short.
Oh, well, then who's it going to be this weekend?
I don't know. This weekend is going to be hard because there's so many good golfers in there.
And about half, half the good guys, they just have, a bad round or two and they're done. We haven't heard a lot of noise from Ricky Fowler in a while. So I'm going to throw his name out.
He's played better the last two weekends, so he might be able to be a guy.
Roll that dice. It's been a while. He's due. It's coming back around. But to come back around to football, in the midst of all that sports, the University of Kentucky, they completed their coronavirus testing, and 100% scot-free of corona. COVID and get the hell out of that Joe Craft football training facility because it ain't nowhere to be found, Adam Luckett.
Yeah, let's
get out of here.
Really good news, especially after they took some slack for just doing the antibody test and not the full enchilada.
Right. And I had a friend joke. It's like, I don't know if I can buy that. I was like, well, they may have had it 2 weeks ago, but they ain't got it anymore. So even if they did have it, they've remained.
Well, they've been together so long now, guys that may have had it, they could have quarantined or whatever. And now.
Exactly.
Could have cleared out, right.
Because, when they first get there, they basically spend a week doing nothing anyway, which I'm sure that kind of gets it out of their system for the most part. But it's one of those things that right now, Kentucky, we're doing all right. I mean, of course, more people in our state can actually listen to people's advice, and that would be nice instead of you can't make me wear a mask. But for the most part, Commonwealth Kentucky is doing fine. It's the It's the Florida man bucket that might cost the SEC. The damn Florida man.
I wonder how much of Florida, too. Obviously, Florida's got a bit of team NF factor. Mm-hmm. With a lot of their residents, but yes. You also have to thank all these people coming in from out of town for all their vacations.
That, and then you think about the retirement communities, you know, there's a lot of vulnerable populations that are living close together.
Well, so, just old people in general there. I mean, it's a lot of old people live there.
Yeah. Yeah. No offense to your in-laws. No offense at all.
No offense. Not at all. I think they might actually be one of the youngest people in Ponte Vedra Beach.
Oh, there we go. That was a good one. That was a good one. Like it. Today, Greg Sankey, he met with SEC athletic directors in person. It's the first time they met in person since Birmingham. The SEC tournament. What did I say? Yeah, they were in Birmingham together at the league offices. And Sankey went on Feinbaum after their meeting, and he essentially said what he said on Marty and McGee Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And it was kind of –
I have the quote right here if you want me to read it.
If you want to read it and then give your take, because I want to share mine, but I kind of want to hear your thoughts first.
We have to see a change in public health trends to build a comfort level that we will have an opportunity to compete this fall. Basically, I think what he's doing is kind of a last-ditch effort to get more people kind of in line. And really, at the same time, though, delaying him having to make a big decision mm-hmm. about whether they need to go conference only, whether they can do some non-conference. Really, I think he's given himself wiggle room with his with these statements and also saying, everybody get on the same page, let's all wear masks, let's all try to do the best we can. But really, all these conference commissioners – they're just trying to buy time, as much time as they can. Nobody wants to stick their neck out, because the weird thing with college football is NCAA is just like
– they don't care.
You all decide.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the NCAA does not crown a champion in college football. Why college football is so important, because for every school, it's the breadwinner. It brings home the money so you can do everything else you want to do. Where the NCAA really is big is the men's basketball tournament and men's basketball in general. That's their baby, yeah. But for college football, they don't crown a national champion. It's just – it's kind of its own self-entity in a lot of ways. And there's no – it's really just the conference commissioners. That's who makes the decisions.
And I think what happened with the Big Ten, the way you put it, like they're all trying to buy time. And I think
– and the Big Ten has a new commissioner too.
Delaney is out now?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. I think it's the new guy. Like, I could be wrong. I think his name's Kevin Warren.
See, I thought Delaney was at least through the end of the year.
That you might be right on that.
But what?
Either way, that could be Delaney just trying to be say something.
Well, and I think there's also a hey, if we just roll with this plan. Yeah.
Warren's the commissioner now, Kevin Warren.
He is. Yeah. Well, that's a hell of a first big decision to make. Yeah. But I think in their way of buying time, they're saying, hey, if we just go back to the drawing board, and they already play 9 conference games anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think most believe that it'll only be in about a 10-game season or so.
Hey,
I think their way to going back to the drawing board is, hey, if we just move forward, if we start this other plan, there's a higher probability that we can make it work if we're just operating under this assumption.
To me, it's all about wiggle room. I think it buys everybody just a little more room for error.
And I think Sankey's pissed off because he knows that you really don't need to make the decision right away. So
yeah, I think a lot of people are upset about the Big Ten's timing.
Right, because
– Why is it announced it now? Why can't we just kind of get through this week and then figure it out? There's no real rush to make that announcement.
And I think their thought is, hey, things can get better in 2 weeks. But you know what? Maybe the Big Ten sounds the alarm enough for – folks to get it together. I know I've seen some people be like, man, if only we had people like threatening to have college football go away 2 or 3 months ago. But the reality of the situation, I think the way that Sankey's put it, A, he's mad at the timing because there is time for things to change. Just as 2 weeks ago, America didn't – I mean, it was still not good, but things went from – so like let's say we're operating under a scale of 1 to 10, whereas like 10 is – Corona is just ravaging everywhere, and you know, one is pre-pandemic. It, see you later. We're back to normal. I think for a while, the early months of June and maybe late May, things were getting better in New York. I feel like we were probably around a four or five-ish, and it was trending downward. And then with a matter of 2 weeks, that five jumped to like 8.5 pretty quickly. So yep. I think their thought is, okay, if it can get that bad that quickly, maybe if we all get our stuff together 2 weeks from now, we can get it back down to a five. Because if this has taught us one thing, it's that plans change really quickly. And I think
that's very day to day for sure.
I think that's his last hope. This is kind of his last ditch effort about a couple more weeks.
Yeah, I think it just gets back to just buying time. I think Sankey sees it in a way where I think in a perfect world, they wouldn't have to get rid of all the non-conference games. Like in a regional basis, they could maybe play some of those non-conference bye games.
Kind of like Kentucky's playing Max.
Well, the MAC, that Big Ten rule, that slays the MAC.
Yeah.
That's a league. Nearly every team, if they're not playing a Big Ten school this year, they're playing one next year. Some of them play two in some seasons. And you just take that guaranteed money away from a conference that it's barely getting by anyway. I mean, they by the smallest of margins. That could just – I mean, the ripple effect in all of this is going to be interesting to follow because the big leagues are going to be fine. College sports, as we know it, is going to survive, but it could knock a lot of people out. And what effect that has on the game, because that means less scholarships you can offer kids in high school. And that could turn into less kids in high school sticking with a certain sport or changing a sport. And it could have a big effect on college sports, the sports that our website are based off of for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, so I think college sports,
especially,
it could be a big change.
I know we immediately go to like the Olympic sports. In Kentucky's case, it would be like your track and field's in jeopardy. But in the MAC, it's like your baseball program, which, hell, there's a lot of kids from the state that are at least going to get check the some college box because they're going to try to play baseball somewhere. Like, I mean, thousands that otherwise probably wouldn't if, you know, the sport wasn't a part of it. So you're right, Luckett, and that's going to be something that, like, man, 10 or 15 years from now, somebody's going to do this really exhaustive. It's not going to be the Ringer because they're going to be more focused on the NBA. But there's going to be some sort of long, detailed piece on the kind of death of what Corona killed in college athletics. And it's probably going to be in the minor sports. But that's a scary thing to think of.
It could get us one step closer to that super conference deal people have talked about for a while.
Yeah, and I know people are like, oh, we're going to get Notre Dame in the ACC now. People really want to just wrangle, lasso Notre Dame into the ACC. I get it if you're an ACC person.
ACC, but the commission, he wasn't ready to play that leverage card. Because they pretty much said, no, like, we're not – they can come in, we'll let them in, but we're not going to try to, you know, play hardball with them.
Right.
Which I think said a lot.
Well – because I think the ACC needs Notre Dame more than Notre Dame needs the ACC.
Absolutely.
Like, especially for that TV network. Yes, it would be great to have exclusive rights, all that stuff. But Notre Dame basically has it. They have NBC Sports. They have their own TV revenue stream. And they have the freedom to schedule whoever and keep, like, the USC rivalry game alive and stuff like that. So,
well, and it gives some ACC teams, you know, a marquee game every year.
Right. Exactly.
Because so. Notre Dame, they have a contract. I think they have to play 5 ACC teams per season.
Yeah. So, I think the ACC is pretty content. Unless you get to that big super conference, which, you know, hell, that could be somewhere 2-3 years down the road. But one thing that I do want to put in people's ear, just to put a pin in it, as far as things that are coming down the line, I think this might be a way for Kentucky to get an NBA team.
Yeah, I think I've seen you mention that.
I saw CBS wrote a story on it, and it hadn't crossed my mind, but it finally makes the financials make sense in that you get expansion teams to have an influx of cash. Right. It's great for short-term games, gains, because teams pay a lot of money to get into the league. But once they're in, they share revenue. So teams ultimately around the league, their worth goes down. But if they need that influx of cash, expansion team helps. And that could be a positive consequence is getting an NBA team in the Yum Center. And probably, maybe 3 years down the road. But it might suck. But that's a trade-off for having super conference stuff, you know, that could be a part of the new normal. But we got a little bit out of hand there. I want to go back because, I know we're going to talk again before this decision's made. What camp are you currently in right now? Are you in the season's going to happen? Are you in the all conference? Are you in the it's going to be spring football? Are you in the no football? Where are you currently? Where's your mind kind of?
Number one, I've never bought into the spring football. I just don't think you could do it.
I think
it's going to be asking an awful lot, man. Because all these kids that are going to go in the draft, why would they want to play? You're going to have to squeeze in a season real quick. You're going to eliminate spring football again. You're going to blow up the recruiting calendar again for like seven games when a lot of them are going to be in horrible weather. I don't know how that's gonna work,
and I don't think that is an option either. Really,
yeah, I don't. That's never like made sense to me. Why they would do that? The only thing that really made sense to me was pushing the season back maybe a month or so, and then maybe ending like early January, like running like the NFL does.
Yeah,
but starting in the spring semester just never made sense. For the Ivy League, it makes sense because they're playing with a different set of rules. And all that, and they could just use it as a spring practice, or like that, it just eliminates spring practice. They can play. All the teams they play are regional based. Nobody goes to the games anyway. So, it's just easier. JUCO is the same way, I think, but for college football, big time college football, I just never thought that would work. Mm-hmm. Because there's just too much. Too many moving parts. And
the one thing I thought about today too, like, so if this is just my if, and of course we don't have an answer for it, but if you blow up spring football, do you do the baseball, or if football just doesn't happen, do they do the baseball route and just say, if you got seniors, they can stay around? Like,
yeah. The only thing that makes sense, Nick, is have an extended spring practice and let teams play 2-3 exhibition games against regional opponents.
Yeah. And that was,
money, and you can put it on TV.
Yeah. And then start, there's plenty
which
of options.
Which they should anyway. They should be able to play an exhibition or two either in spring or in early camp. I firmly believe that, but that's a different conversation for a different day.
Right, exactly.
But as of right, the whole time leading up to this, I've always thought they would play.
Mm-hmm.
I thought from the beginning that pushback would probably be the best method of operation. Give yourself some more time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think in the last month or so, I've realized, it's going to be hard to get a 12-game season in. They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do for that. So going to conference only is not a big surprise, but it's hard seeing this news the last couple of days to see what they can do. At best, I think they shoot for 10 and maybe have a 6-game season. I think that might be the best-case scenario right now.
6-game season, just play your division opponent?
Well, you shoot for 10, and then if stuff happens where you have to cancel games – you can shoot for 10 and then get – if you can get 6, you feel – whatever. If you get anything past that, it's kind of gravy. But I just don't know how you feel good about it moving forward because, I mean, you can get lost in the shuffle of Twitter and how bad it is.
Right.
But when you start just thinking about the logistics of playing a college football season.
Right.
And how you travel – how you're going to do the testing, what the stuff that's going to happen at school, what it's going to look like if schools aren't in session, all of that. It just, I don't know, man. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but I don't think it's looking good. For the first time, I'm doubting that we'll have a season, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Which that's seriously an honest, doubting. That's an honest way to go about the last 3 or 4 days or so. Because when we were looking at this in April, this was supposed to be the time that wasn't that bad, you know? And that's right.
We all thought that the summer heat would kill it, and I thought that would lead into people actually getting excited about the season. And then the worry would be after you're going into end of September, early October, and then it's been back up again. But it's actually been the opposite. It's gotten worse as it's gotten scorching hot.
Right, because I think people get cooped up and they're like, all right, we need to go to the beach. We need to do something.
I mean, there's definitely cabin fever set in for a lot of people. There's no denying that.
Man, I kind of get the itch too. I need to get on a golf course soon. It's been about 2 weeks. You got to get out there and have a little – it's Bud Light time.
Do, man.
Hashtag bucket season.
It's been hot. I played 18 Saturday. It was hot. It was hot.
Did you hit them straight, though?
About six of them.
Oh, man. I would just like to say that I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and dive into the possibilities of having a conference-only season. Because, Adam Luckett, I think that even though it would
Let me stop you right there. If they can pull it off, I think this could be fun as hell.
Oh, yeah, it'd be so much fun. Because there's something about just, all right, well, time to nut up.
let's get funky. You know what I'm saying? Let's just get funky.
And if you've ever so there's two sides of this coin. And you know what? Like at this water I'm drinking, I've had to drink quite a bit of it because I'm perpetually dehydrated. But it's still half full. If I was to say this was half empty, then I would say, well, of course, Kentucky football, best team in forever, and we're not even going to get a full season. Perpetual optimist. This glass has full. Kentucky's never been more prepared for an all-conference SEC schedule. Bring on the big guys. Let's do it. Come on. Toe-to-toe. Let's go. And you know what? They're going to be playing in full stadiums. They're going to be playing in front of friends and family probably. So, and that's at most, which means all of that, like, is the game too big for you? This comes down to who wants to punch the other team in the mouth more. And if you don't think Mark Stoops is going to get his guys ready, Mark Stoops' dudes, they're going to be motivated regardless. And there's not going to be any sort of deer in headlights possible. So I think they can make it work. And look at if this does end up happening, if they go to a 10-game schedule, who are the – what SEC West opponents that who do we think is going to be on it and who would we want to see on it? I think that's the ultimate question. I'm going to start by saying I actually think it'd be kind of nice to get a LSU or an A&M because the A&M
would be fun. I think that'd be the most fun of all
because of the Jimbo factor. They played them close two times last year. I mean, you heard Terry Wilson talking about that A&M game. The revenge factor would be enormous in that game. And even though A&M's this big trendy pick, Kellen Mond don't scare me. So I think
both A&M teams are pretty evenly matched too.
Yeah.
It'd be a good game.
And I mentioned LSU just because it's like, well, they don't really scare me. I mean, they were like one of the best teams ever, but how many people can you name besides Derek Stingley and Jamar Chase on that roster?
You would get the Kelvin Joseph.
Exactly. We got Boss Man and Fat Pal. Yeah, right. Exactly. So as far as big dogs, I don't want to see Bama because Najee Harris and Jalen Waddle are just stupid, and they can just turn a game upside down like that. So, we don't want Bama. Mm-mm.
I think playing Ole Miss would be cool. Finally get a win over Lane Kiffin for letting that one slip away in 2009.
Oh, yeah. That was brutal. Tough.
That's one of the tougher losses in recent UK history, I don't think people talk about enough. Rich Brooks' last home game. You win that, you're going to the Outback Bowl.
Mm.
And everything since after that game was over, the thing just blew up in the next 20-some games in the Joker tenure.
Then we had people falling down, self-sacking each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I don't know who I would – I guess it'd be more personal with Jimbo, but that Lane Kiffin revenge factor, I forgot how much I hated him at Tennessee because it just happened so quickly.
Right. It's been 11 years now too. It's been a long time.
He's made his way back home. No, and it'd be fun too because I don't think they're going to be any good. They're going to stink. And I'd rather play them than Sam Pittman because I kind of like Sam Pittman in Arkansas. They're not going to be any good, but I, you know, something about them that you're just like, oh, you can't hate that guy, you know?
Yeah, I'll be rooting for him. There's some talent on Arkansas. The problem is, the biggest problem for Arkansas is Texas A&M coming in the league. That has really been a big kick in their gut.
They can't recruit Texas as the SEC school.
Well, now it creates a game kind of like Kentucky and Mississippi State, where for you to have a good season, like for Arkansas to have a good season, they have to beat A&M. It's early in the schedule. It gets you off on the right foot in conference play. If you don't win it, it puts you behind the eight ball. And since they've been in the league, they've lost like 7-1 possession games to them or something. And it's always put them behind. Yeah. And it's just this big monkey they can't get off their back. And I think it was part of the reason that Bielema got fired so quick is because he couldn't figure out
how to win that game. Even last year when they hadn't won a conference game in 2+ years, they had A&M on the ropes.
The game's close every year. A&M finds a way to pull it out. They win by 7 like every season. It's the same game essentially every year.
Yeah.
Arkansas outplays them, but A&M finds a way to win the game in the end.
And Rakeem Boyd's back, so they at least got one of the best.
They've got some skill talent
in the SEC. Oh, Felipe Franks, he's talented.
They had those two freshman receivers from last year that I really like.
I can't say that with a straight face. Yeah, I can't remember their names, but
Traylon Burks is one of them, and then I can't think of who the tall guy is. His name off the top of my head.
You'll get that Phil Steele this week, and you'll be refreshed. It's almost here. They'll probably be here in time for your Sunday morning cup of coffee, the way that Phil tells us.
I feel bad for my man. I think he sent it to printer before all this stuff hit. So you're going to have all these schedules in here that.
Hey, but you know what? I think irrelevant. We would probably be like, it would be the same scenario where this is a college football preview magazine for a college football season. That's probably not going to happen. But it damn could it. Be
a collector's item too, now, if we don't have a season to have that 20 years. Man. Might want to put that in a frame or something.
But yeah, I Ole Miss and A&M, I think, would be maybe the most fun. I do think that if you're with the heads of the – if you're the people making decisions at Birmingham, it probably makes most sense to play cross-divisional opponents that you haven't played your second time in this cycle yet. Because then you can get one step closer to starting a new cycle. Right. Or, hell, you can get one step closer to pod scheduling.
I think it's just going to be they're going to try to keep it as close as possible.
The only problem with Ole Miss Alabama, though, is Alabama is probably the closest SEC school to a lot of those teams in the East. You know what I mean? That's like true. A&M's got to play somebody. So they're going to have to hop in a plane. And,
right. Well, I just figured they would throw them at Missouri and then either Kentucky or Vanderbilt, I would guess.
Yeah, probably most likely. Ooh, poor Vandy.
Well, they already play Vanderbilt A&M. That was their cross division this year.
Oh, okay. I will say, shout out to Derek Mason and Will Muschamp buying another year, right? Can't get fired after Corona. It's like
I know.
Those basketball coaches that kind of escaped the hot seat.
It's going to – well, this it's is like college football.
Archie Miller at Indiana, you know?
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense, but this is also college football. So we'll see. But, yeah, you would think for most of them are going to be another year. Derek Mason, he could go 0-9, man. Like, what game were they winning?
The thing is, too, I really do wonder.
That offense stinks.
Hey, Danny Clark, buddy.
That offense is going to stink out loud.
I'm wondering, like, we don't get Vandy's financials. And Vandy's just a mess anyway. Like, they like got rid of all their SIDs. They're just – that place is run like a Chinese fire drill.
Would know this better than me. So, what is that – like, Department of Communication. So, what does that mean? Okay, and, like, who's going to do these people's jobs now?
I don't know. And it shows you what their thoughts are in athletics. So, essentially, for folks who don't understand how, like, SIDs work, there's at least one person that's designated to each team at UK. And then they'll kind of dabble in other sports in the offseason. So, like, for UK football, Susan Wax is my go-to. And all of these interviews that I've had during the offseason, they happen because I have a good relationship with her. And she works with the players, and gets them ready for interviews, and we're good to go. They're the UK spokesman confirms, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
At Vandy, there's a guy.
They vote on the coaches poll.
Yes, exactly. they do many different things, and a lot of it's they're promoting their teams. So, like, when you go to ukathletics.com and you're seeing gamers for, like, the softball team, you want to see
– their staff creates the media. That's who creates the media guide.
It's, yes. They update the record books. They do a lot of stuff. And at Vanderbilt, they had – of course, theirs isn't going to be as large as Kentucky's.
Well, first of all, every other athletic department at SEC is separate from the university. Like, it's its own department. Vandy is tied – into the university. Like, their athletic director is technically a vice chancellor, which means it's a branch off from
almost like the department of
like department of science. They have the department of athletics.
Yes, yes, or like much. Education department. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that weird relationship has made their turnover at the athletic department, because they just hired – it was the first African-American woman to be an AD in the SEC, and her name escapes me.
Candace Storley is her name.
Because the last guy was only there for like a year and burnt through like $3 million of their rainy day fund, or he just screwed the pooch up. So now they're just deciding, we're going to – you know what? You all don't need your own SIDs. We can use our own. Well, as far as I'm concerned, UK Sports Information Department, they're – the folks that are there, PR, there's a lot more of them there. Now, I know it's because I'm familiar with them, but when you see a UK press release, Jay Bland's typically the only guy speaking for people, whereas there's a – I know that's not necessarily the case, but they handle completely different kind of problems. People who are used to dealing with teachers and professors and athletic administrators – just like administrators and teachers and academics – in the private school, like in a private institution, they're not going to have to learn how to deal with athletes. That's a completely, completely different skill set. And I'm not really sure what the impetus behind the move was. And I know it's kind of a nerdy media thing to complain about, but like, I frankly don't understand it, because as much as we like to crap on Vandy, like Vanderbilt's for half the Calipari era, Vandy was the peskiest team Kentucky had to face. And hell,
a lot easier in basketball to build it up.
Right. But I mean, their baseball team's what, won two national championships, you know?
They just got a great coach. Baseball's another one like that. You just need the guy. If you got the coach in there, you can build it fast.
But the point being is you actually have some like decent success, and you're just showing how little priority you care about it.
Well,
I just scratching it, you know?
What it screams to me is a move you make that eventually gets you kicked out of the league. Because like eventually it's like, Nick, that stadium's it's a dump, man. Oh, and that's – I don't think the SEC is going to play around with them if – when it comes to maybe this coronavirus ripple effect, it comes to, you know, arming up again, getting some more teams, or it causes a conference to blow up and it gives them a chance to add somebody. I don't think they're going to mess around with Vanderbilt, who's over there nickel and diming their departments, who's got a dump of a football stadium. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not investing – in athletics. They made that hire Malcolm Turner, the guy who ran the G League, who they hired as their AD. And he was supposed to be a guy come in, be this big fundraiser, do things more traditionally like other schools do things. And apparently I don't know what happened. He just spent all the money they had. So now they're going – they went out on a limb for a little bit, but now they're really retreating back and going back to the roots, and they're cutting off this thing as another move. Eventually, you know, I could see them just kind of moving on. I think it seems like it's heading that way, at least how I'm viewing it from my
side. Ooh, so Vanderbilt to Conference USA.
Or whatever.
Or UConn and Vanderbilt start their own conference.
Come up with a name of that, man.
They can play with Liberty and Hugh Freeze. There's a lot of potential here. I think there's some potential there. Right. It can be the it costs a lot of money to play in this league. But yeah, I don't know.
And Derek Mason's already been putting them on blast. Like he couldn't really do it much because he didn't win many games last year. But when he beat Missouri, he went into his press conference and was just like, "I'm built for this. This job freaking sucks. No help. But I'm the one you got. So you better stick with me, and you all gotta, better support me.
I got to deal with Jared Stillman every day. Like, which is essentially who's going to put up with Jared Stillman?
Essentially, what he said was, you know, this job sucks. It's hard to do. I get no help. So y'all need to get behind me because I'm who you got, kind of thing.
Which brings us to our next topic, which is things we're going to miss at SEC Media Days. And one thing I'm not going to – I am going to miss is Derek Mason and Jared Stillman having a heart-to-heart in the media ballroom because nobody else will ask Derek Mason a question. So he has a nice little back and forth with Jared. And, sometimes it can feel a little tenuous, but, sometimes it's fun. And if y'all don't know Jared Stillman, he was actually a Louisville women's basketball manager who interned at the ESPN radio station for the longest time with Diener. And now he has a show with a former GM on like afternoons in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And he whenever he gets a chance to take a jab at Vandy, that typically happens. But I'll miss that fun little interaction. This is one of a few things that I'll miss from SEC Media Days that was supposed to we'd be doing four podcasts. This would be the first of daily podcasts down in Atlanta, but it has been postponed to a later date that I'm sure they're not going to determine until they determine what's happening with the season in late July, if at all. But they'll plan on making it virtual. But I wanted to go back and forth with some of the things that we'll miss most from no SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame this year.
Number one, you got to shout out the king, Bob Holt. Miss seeing him umpteen times on the tube this week.
Yeah,
in person.
Look, it's BFF Bob Holt from Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Yeah, Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Hey Eli, you got a lot of Arkansas players on your team. Can you talk about recruiting the state of Arkansas?
The best part is that. So, for those who don't sit around and watch SEC Network nonstop over these 4 days, he is the Jerry Tipton of SEC football. But he just doesn't work for, like, the Alabama newspaper. So, but he will ask each coach at least one question.
Every coach knows his name.
Yeah. Oh, even Stoops. When Stoops has got you on a first-name basis, like, that's rare. Like, I think John Wong and Cutler are, like, the only two that ever been on a first-name basis with Mark Stoops. And Bob Holt makes that. Because Bob Holt he'll do the same thing on the SEC teleconference, too. Y'all don't listen to it, but he does the same exact thing where he's always got a question. But Bob Holt is an American hero, a true gem. And this was his week to shine, and we're really missing out on it. It's a real shame.
And then Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin's return. Because this – Media Days, when it was first started, was kind of the kickoff to football season, because after football season's over, it kind of dies. Well, college football season's over, it would kind of die, and then this would be kind of the ramp up to the season. But now it's become a 24/7, 365 sport.
Right, right. Whereas, like, back in the old days, you have your newspaper reporters and you only got your news a few different ways, and you didn't have this. This essentially – it was used
there was probably one back, yeah, 15 like, years ago, right? 15 years ago, maybe even back in 2007, this was probably like a 200 person event, you would say.
Give or take,
right?
And I mean,
like Alabama obviously had a lot of people there, but other than that, the schools, people bringing maybe 5, 6, 7 outlets
because mania was happening then, but hell, even before that,
that's when it started to blow up, I think, was then. But before then, it was just kind of this celebration of football being back, and it gave all these media people content to use throughout the season.
Gave them quotes.
Now you can get it from – like I can get on my computer and watch Barry Odom's Week 2 press conference.
Right.
You couldn't be able to do that before. So it, I think it's changed. Now it's become – Media Days has become more of kind of the spectacle where the SEC just kind of shows off. We do it bigger and better than anybody else.
Well,
credentialing all these people and spreading it out through 4 days.
And to go to the back to the promotional aspect, it's changed the way coaches have talked too. You know, Steve Spurrier used to get up at the podium and, you know, see how many one-liners he could drop. Whereas now coaches just try not to the overwhelming majority that was going to change this year, but the overwhelming majority was just trying to, because they get so much exposure, to try not to, to step on any toes and really start up any sort of controversy or anything. That was the part that was maybe going to be the most exciting thing about this year, is you have three guys really who I think would have done really well in that environment, along with Leach and Kiffin having some egg bowl jabs. I think Sam Pittman would have been good up there as well, where you at least have some people who are comfortable in that setting and who, I mean, hell, juxtaposed next to Joe Moorhead, who's just trying to get Dan Reno to follow him on Twitter. Like, Mark Stoops is not a guy who has the, I'm going to command a room and kind of pull some laughs out on people.
But Derek, like, Mason's business card.
Oh, gosh, man. But Lane Kiffin, though, he's one that, like, is kind of doing the finger guns at people, you know, and he's got the flow. And I'm sure he
would. I mean, it would have been it's a zoo every year for Nick Saban. But, like, with Kiffin and Leach, it would have been a zoo for them this year.
And I'm wondering, too, also how they would have responded to some of it, because I think especially in Kiffin's extent, you know, he doesn't want to be a clown show, you know, like, yes, this is kind of his revenge tour. So to a certain extent, how he would react to some. And also, I know there was one woman, and I forget her name, who is a TV reporter, where she was like almost the designated person in the media. It's almost like all of the people in Pullman, which I'm sure it was like seven people, you know, two newspaper reporters and like a couple of camera, but there was one girl who a young woman sports reporter who she would always ask the, like, once a week off the wall question. And I was really curious to see, obviously start real smaller, but how a ballroom would handle that, and like all of the touchdown Alabama and, you know, a lot of the people who just, you know, brag about being credentialed and stuff, like how they would have handled the Michael Leach experience, and if he would have taken kindly to it, or if he just would have kind of scoffed at it. And hell, I would have loved fishing for a quote about returning to Lexington for the first time. And, you know, that would have been the easiest story I could have written in the week, and just have him ramble on about Kentucky for a little while. So it's a shame. It's a shame we won't get that. 'Cause even if we do get him on Zoom, like, it's not the same. Like, it's just not.
No, it's not. They'll get them in that atmosphere.
I mean, just watching the talk shows at night, it's you got to get the reaction, and instead you only get like awkward laughs and
turn
the mute off, you know.
Two or three players a year, though, will give us something to talk about. We all remember Benny Snell when he went in there, and
there's the dude that brought in the Chucky doll last year. That was kind of weird.
Yeah. There's always something. Always something.
Was it Zach Stacy? Or it wasn't Zach Stacy. That's too old. Keyshawn Vaughn, who came in and was just talking all kinds of junk. No, it wasn't Vaughn.
Ralph Webb.
There we go. I'm getting my van. Yeah, Ralph Webb came in talking a bunch of junk about how he's the best running back in the SEC and all this. Jake Fromm's croakies last year were like headlining. They were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I think. They were so popular. What I'm really going to miss, like, it, Dr. Pepper, just diet, regular, anytime you want it, all day, every day. Just them.
Golden Flake.
You know, Golden Flake is, I think that's more of an SEC tournament staple than it is SEC Media Days. Because I believe at the tournament, it's more of an all-day food affair. Whereas SEC Media Days, they have their timing a little bit more restrictive when it comes to eating and whatnot. But the thing that you would have been most fired up about, it's one of the best perks of all of the perks. And that's instead of in Hoover, where it typically is, this year in Atlanta, They have the, they have like a cocktail hour somewhere in Hoover typically. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, well, whatever. This is like any other hotel one. In Atlanta, they do it at the freaking Sideline Suites at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, I don't care if nobody's in there. That place is awesome to go into. And that night, I just was like standing around looking up. And the only thing they don't let you do is bring your drink out onto the field. And mm-hmm. or else I would have just been staring and like looking up and pouring drinks in my mouth all night. But that place is incredible. And, you know, even if I wasn't in the business where I'm watching from a press box suite, I would never in a million years be the guy that's on a field sideline level suite. It is, it's just cool. You just feel right, cool.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I'm really bummed we're missing out on that opportunity like it.
Yeah, I mean, this week is usually like, all right, it's been a long off season. Media days are here. Like, we're almost there. Like, almost like you can taste it. Oh, preseason magazines are flowing.
You get some people talking trash, kind of, you get your interview. Man, ooh, on the flip side, coin though, of the Mercedes-Benz, though, that's great, like it. But the media still love to complain about the setup in Atlanta because it doesn't have a true radio row.
Media, it's part of our little business. We got a bunch of complainers.
Remember when they ran out of Diet Coke at the combine? We just missed the like outrage.
People were pissed, man.
And that's, oh man, there would have been complaints about the setup. People would have been walking over the Chick-fil-A. God, I can't believe I got to buy my own food. another SEC Media Day tradition. Picking South Carolina ahead of Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, another tradition, a reporter asking Muschamp kind of a sensitive question, him getting all pissed off. Last year, the guy asked him, how's it feel to be a little brother in your own state? South Carolina, your little brother, nobody. You hear me? seeing him get a little feisty, because you know he was probably going to get some feisty questions this year.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I would have loved to hear another quote, like, we're rededicating to the run game. That would have been fun.
Ed Orgeron reading off his depth chart.
Oh, all of the players from Louisiana. Man, and the thing is, even though Coach O is a beloved character, he is very boring in front of a microphone. Like, he's a very well-prepared, like,
I think back when he's at Ole Miss, he was a little more edgy, I guess you would say. Now he's just at the job where he don't have to really say much. So it's all about
keeping him between the lines.
Right.
Jamie Pruitt's boring as hell. I would have just been mad for 30 minutes listening to that nerd Eli Drinkwitz talk. Put him in a locker.
You know he was gonna have some joke or two that he's been sitting on and working on.
Oh, it is gonna be so bad. Weeks,
and it wasn't gonna be. No one's gonna laugh. You know, you just know he had something.
Oh man. It's gonna be so bad. Yeah. Like to the part where, like, even in a big room, you would have just been like. But here's the thing, though. It would get a laugh because every joke ever told in a press conference always gets a ha, ha, ha. Even the laugh, like Mark Stoops doesn't tell jokes. He'll have like lines every once in a while, but people still just crack up. Like, you know, Michael Bennett's still laughing at that one line that Mark Stoops had. So like, here's another thing. Angry Kirby Smart asking about his quarterback competition because there's one happening. Yeah. Like at JT Daniels. Got his transfer waiver approved. Like it, can you believe? I mean, all the hardships he's gone through to get to Georgia. I'm surprised we didn't hear sooner that he was.
A lot of people are upset about the timing. I don't really care about the timing. There's just no sense in him getting cleared.
Were they upset with the timing? As in too fast?
I think some people are like, Joey Gatewood's been transferred in January. But I think a lot of it has to do with the school has to come up with a packet or whatever, then has to send it to the NCAA. Once they send it to the NCAA, they return the answer. Right. But they have – so I think from that perspective, I don't really care. It's just this kid was in Los Angeles. He lived in Los Angeles. He graduated high school early to go to USC. He got hurt. Yes, he got beat out. He decides to transfer. He didn't transfer close to home. He transfers to Athens, freaking Georgia, from Los Angeles, California. And they just clear him. I don't why. I don't understand it.
Yeah, he's
Georgia had a kid transfer last year. Went to Illinois from – he's from Illinois. Transferred back home to Illinois. Wanted to play close to home. They don't clear him. But JT Daniels, they do. I don't understand.
Well,
I don't
understand. Was JT Daniels a quarterback?
Yeah. Jacob Eason leaves Georgia. Goes back home to Washington. Doesn't get cleared.
I do think that there's a sense of – even though they didn't pass that rule, like, I think they're just resigned to – like, I haven't heard one person not get it. And you see it more, I think, in basketball maybe. But I haven't seen, like, yeah, anybody say waiver denied this offseason.
If we're just going to clear everybody, let's clear everybody.
I think they're like, well, some people don't want to go through that rule right now. But you know what? We'll just kind of – it's almost like the weed laws where, all right, we're not going to change the law federally, but we're going to kind of look the other way and just let it happen. Maybe that's where the NCAA is right now. Because really – what hardship could he have other than I got hurt and what was he going to say? USC has bad medical treatment? Like, there's no reasonable excuse other than I got beat out and I want to go play.
Kate Mason's dad lost the damn pinky and he can't get cleared. I just don't understand it, man.
Oh, man.
Like, he just got the golden boy treatment. Did you see his headshot for his Georgia?
It's so bad. Headshot? It's so bad. Because his mustache, I don't know, like, as a man who can grow a bad mustache, you got to trim it a certain way. And he, like, trimmed it at the top and not at the – it's a weird look. And you know what? I'm going to happily cheer against him. I'm just cheering for kind of chaos down there too because, you know, David Pollock's Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Jamie Newman, like, now he might not even start. Like, that's the part I do love about it all. But
Kirby Smart hasn't been great in these situations in the past when it's dealing with quarterback competitions.
Oh, and he would have been so flustered at that SEC Media Days podium. Well, right. we're going to have a quarterback competition. We're going to see where it is this fall.
Messed up the last one. And then he's probably – I mean, this is going to be another big one. Because you look at Georgia, that defense is stacked. Offensively, they have talent. It's just getting the trigger man.
So, who's your trigger man? You're Kirby Smart. You've got – hell, I don't even know who their offensive coordinator is now.
Todd Monken.
Oh, yeah. Southern Miss guy. Okay.
I think they're just going to be Daniels. I mean, I don't see how you get him cleared and then you don't sit him. Unless he's just Tate Martell level of knucklehead.
Which you never got that vibe. You just got the Cali kid vibe. Previously.
I feel like I just don't see how – unless Newman is head and shoulders above him, which I don't really think he is.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels is your guy moving forward. I mean, he's got 3 years of eligibility left, I think.
Man, so think of the wild world, too, where, hey, you know, seniors, there's no football season, but everybody gets another year of eligibility if they want it, you know.
I don't know how they can do that, though, for scholarship numbers.
Well, they did it for baseball.
A lot of these schools won't be able to afford it.
Hey, you know what? If you want to be good, you can find a ways to afford it. You know what I mean? And I know baseball's had a few exceptions. There's a couple there's two softball players at UK who are going to take advantage of that. But hell, if you're UK, you gotta who would UK's SEC Media Days representatives be? Who do we think like it if it was happening this week?
Drake Jackson.
Yeah, I think Drake's a shoe in.
They get three, right?
Yeah, and they like to do at least, you know, they're not going to – I don't think they would do three offense or three defense ever.
I would think Boogie Watson.
Yeah.
You think they would bring him?
My other guy I was thinking would maybe be Bohanna.
Uh-huh. I would say Boogie.
But, yeah, Boogie's a little bit more polished.
And then after that, I would say either Pascal or Terry.
And I would probably go Terry because – Pascal has another year. They prioritize seniors. Yeah. And Wayne and Young would
– Pascal when he's a senior for sure.
Wayne and Young would kind of be a candidate, but he did all the All-State good work stuff. So, like, I mean, I know that doesn't Like, just because you're the best community servant guy doesn't mean it should exclude you from that. But he's gotten to do a lot of
things. If you got an all first team all SEC guy that's going to be preseason first team all SEC, you have to bring him. So that, I think that would give Drake the trump card.
Right, right. So Drake, probably Drake Terry Boogie.
Plus Drake Jackson is in position to win a national award. So I think they're going to try to get him out, his name out there.
Drake's great to talk to, too.
Right. It, yeah, and he's good behind the mic.
He also reminds me of a St. Rita kid that your brother went to school with. That it just like when they speak, it's one of my DeSales buddies. When they, I mean, they're kind of built the same too. When they open their mouths, I'm like, I'm weirded out. It same cadence, same like kind of smart ass remarks, like or not, but you know, kind of like a.
Like they're separated birth or something.
Well, we try to get, you know, media folks, we try to get fancy with our questions sometimes. And he's just like, you know, it's not that difficult. He's a practical guy. I'm a big fan of Drake Jackson, and it's been a pleasure having him and Landon around for the last 5 years now. Kind of weird.
Yeah, that'll lot. If they don't have a season, it would suck that they couldn't take one last advantage of this offensive line and this core.
That's why waivers, bring them back.
Because you, man, that offensive
line is going to be good. We've been having fun. We're not going to get sad again. Don't you dare go down that road, damn it.
I know.
All right, what was the last thing? Holy crap, have you seen Yusuf Corker? Jesus, yeah, dude, Christ.
He's
yoked.
He's bro. Holy
dad strength, man. Dude, and you know what? Like, he's a classic case of – Kentucky secondary was so improved, and it didn't necessarily come from one in particular spot, but if there's one you would point to, it would be Yusuf Corker. He was great last year.
Well, it was his first getting to play, and all you really hoped for was that he would live up to that recruiting ranking, and he did that last year. And so now it's all about putting it all together now, moving forward.
I mean, you noticed him when he was gone, more so than anything, that Florida game.
Right.
I mean, without him, it's a completely different defense. And physicality, man, you're adding the kind of muscle he's added on this offseason. He's going to be an absolute stud next year. Mm-hmm. So a guy that we got to be talking about. Now, there, I did think it was funny.
Yeah, he was a guy I think could made a run at all SEC this year. I think he's got that ability and chance.
I wrote that Bruce Banner is dead. Yeah, the Hulk has now taken over Yusuf Corker, and I actually had somebody direct message me. It's not Bruce Banner, it's David Banner, you idiot. And I I actually did have to go back to Google and check it when I got that DM, and I was like, no, David Banner's the David Banner. I haven't seen a Chevy with a butterfly. Like, come on.
Butterfly doors.
Yeah, come on. David Banner's come on. He's on the Def Jam video games. He had the Did you ever play the Def Jam video games like it where the rappers would fight? Like it was like a Tekken style or Street Fighter style game?
No.
It was great. Because David Banner, after he would beat you, they would almost have like finishing moves. And he would say, I'm from the M. Ah. Kugula, kugula, ah. Kugula, kugula, ah. Humpback, humpback, ah. Make him want to die. And we would shout it every time afterwards. Man, the amount of times I've spent playing that stupid video game. But David Banner, much different than Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner, Hulk. David Banner, one of Mississippi's finest. Sorry, DMer. I got that one right, pal. But I think we got this one right. I think this is a good time to head out before we go down the wrong road. I hope y'all enjoyed our honest and open conversation about a little bit of COVID stuff. And I hope we get some better news. We're probably not going to get anything for, 2 weeks or so. So, if not next time we podcast, the following podcast.
I think we probably need to be looking towards the last week of July. Yeah. So I think we've got to get through these 2 weeks. And then once we do that, then I think we'll probably get some news. One way or the other.
Just do what you're supposed to be doing, folks. Maybe we'll get some football to play. Huh? What do you say?
Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Knock on wood. Keep your legs crossed, your mind on Jesus. Thank you all so much for listening. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats, go Kroger. We'll see y'all next week.